You are listening to a sermon by Frieda Epp, recorded on Sunday, October 9th, 2016, at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Some time ago, Catherine asked if I'd be willing to talk about my experience of God and the Word through art. I am more comfortable expressing myself through visual art, so putting my thoughts about this topic into words has been a bit of a struggle. Catherine's request has led me on a journey of understanding. From my early experiences with art at home, in the Mennonite community, and to more recent artistic experiences. To more fully describe those experiences, I needed to delve into the literature, explore my personal experience with art throughout my life, and examine others' experiences of God through art. For many centuries, Christians have used art to teach and express aspects of their faith in their places of worship. Religious and sacred art can depict peace, compassion, love, and intensity. Art lends form, color, tension, and proportion to the invisible. And words that come to mind is, you hear, but you often don't understand until you see. My literature search revealed that, like Christians before me, I express my understanding of the scriptures and how they relate to the world around me through my painting. I want to share some of these paintings and tell you where my inspiration came from. Please take a few moments to look at my paintings. Think about what they mean to you and what thoughts are brought to mind. The first painting is Matthew 7, 24, 25, and that's the first painting to my right, the one in the frame. And this was our wedding text. We were instructed to build our house on a rock, like the wise man did, who heeded God's word, not on sand as the foolish man who did not heed God's word. And the storms came, and you all have already heard the rest of the story. The second painting is Matthew 5, number 9 of the Beatitudes. Blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you look at this painting a little more closely, you will notice that the Afghan refugee in this painting has followed me and several others. This is a symbolic painting. You see the cross, the candle, the Bible, a child in prayer, a bloody sword, what might be a soldier, some guns, and a plowshare. This was part of a triptych, and the title was Turning Guns into Plowshares. The third painting depicts the practice of foot washing, which is a sign of humility and service. This is a literal painting and was part of a dignity project for the Manitoba Heritage Gallery in Winnipeg. I had heard on the news about a nun who was washing the prostitutes' feet in the Vancouver area. And on my left, the beggar boy, and you've all seen him before, which is Matthew 25, verse 45, truly I say to you, what you have not done for the least of these, you have not done for me. As you can see, I don't interpret my subject. I express my understanding of the scriptures and the world around me in symbolic, concrete, literal ways. In my paintings, I use illumination and arrange a realistic forms what might be considered icons. It is my understanding that an icon is typically a representation of a religious subject and or meaning. Icons have been venerated in the Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, and in Catholic churches. They may be cast in metal, carved in stone, embroidered on cloth, painted on wood, or done in mosaics or frescoes. I saw a picture of a fresco, and it was an image of Christ making this sign. And this sign was used to address the Roman Senate, and it meant, "Be quiet, I have something to say." Icons are often illuminated with a candle, which is a practice predating Christianity. It is only recently that I have been painting pieces that express my understanding of Scripture and the contradictions I see between what I read and what I see in society. I believe that is partly due to my Mennonite upbringing, partly due to my growth as a painter, and mostly due to my search for a more meaningful faith. Rachel Barg, art historian and art educator at the Winnipeg Art Gallery, notes that historically the Mennonite Church has not embraced icons, statues, or visual art in general as other traditions have done. Barg goes on to say, however, that exploring the tradition of icons in other Christian religions might engage the Mennonite community in discussion on the current relationship between contemporary art and Christian traditions. Similarly, in a book entitled Call to Faithfulness, George Weeb states that in the last number of years, Mennonites have come of age in culture and education. The arts in particular have flourished with a rapidity unsurpassed in Canadian Mennonite history. He adds that much of this art was of modest variety and produced for private enjoyment and local use. Mennonites were not always vocal in giving rationale for the arts. And part of the reason, he suggests, may have been the slight feeling of suspicion that too much preoccupation with the arts could be a deterrent rather than an aid to a vital personal faith. The fine arts were actually viewed by some as a potential hindrance for true discipleship, a concept which accurately reflected the suspicions of the early Anabaptists and of the ultra-conservatives of our time. Weeb goes on to say that the use of decorative art, paintings, carvings, and embroidery were cultivated in most Mennonite homes, but with very strict limitations. Barg and Weeb's accounts mirror my own experience. Decorative paintings in gilt frames, visual art of any kind, really, and even music were never thought to be important in my family home. Visual art would have been considered a luxury, and the making of art would have been considered a total waste of time, and definitely not a necessity. My parents, my brother, and I were an agrarian family. We worked hard. We faithfully went to church every Sunday, and we lived simply. Photographs of ancestors and wooden spruchs were the adornments on our walls. A spruch is a wooden plaque with typically a Bible verse carved into its face, like this one. Ed and I received this plaque as a wedding gift, and it reads, Herr, lass den Augen offen stehen über dies Haus Nacht und Tag. In English, that thine eyes remain open toward our house, toward this house, night and day. We have others, some that belong to my parents, and some that I picked up in a thrift shop some years ago. These hold really good memories for me. Recently on our trip to Winnipeg, we attended our first Mennonite church, and I noticed they still have two spruchs in their sanctuary on either side of the big pipes of the pipe organ. And they've also...
They were really bigger than that.
And they've also added some stained glass windows in the last few years. It wasn't until after my daughters were all in school that I sought a creative outlet. I did ceramics, doll making, and pottery. I enjoyed these crafts. I enjoyed the social aspects of creating. And it brought in a little bit of extra income. Time passed, and on my 65th birthday, Ed gave me a set of watercolor paints, and I started painting. Mostly flowers, and living on the prairies, I painted abandoned grain elevators, broken down barns, and old rust farm machinery. Ed likes landscapes, so I tried that too. But I strongly felt the need to somehow express human conditions. Topics I was concerned about, including the meaning of dignity, child abuse, homelessness, and lately war. I also found really listening to the words in the hymns we sing here at Point Grey every Sunday morning motivating. For example, in the blue hymnal, I didn't know we were going to sing these, in the blue hymnal, the bulb, there is a flower, and in Sing the Journey, If the War Goes On, and many, many others. While painting about current issues, I started to question the shallowness of my faith, which has led me to more diligently read and study scripture. Painting from scripture allows me to focus on worldly cares and their relationship to that which I'm reading. I paint with spiritual devotion to understand and conscientiously learn. The aim of my work is to be a window to the spiritual, not an end in itself. Maybe the presence of God will surface into the conscious realm most effectively through the creation of art. I do not seek praise, nor do I want to draw attention to the technicality of my work. What I hope is that there is a message, and that I am able to reveal God and the Word as I am coming to understand it. In closing, it's a little long closing. I would like to tell you a story about Amanda Kelso. Amanda was Ed's great niece. She was a young 22-year-old second-year medical student at the University of Ottawa when her life ended in a tragic car accident. She created the painting of the Bride of Christ. inspired by a song she'd heard. Amanda's parents, Johnny and Sharon, were raised in a strong, evangelical, faith-based home. They're very involved in their church, and they have raised Amanda and her two sisters as they were raised. I tell her story because, like songs, scripture, and the search for meaning as it relates to society today and our everyday lives, I find her story inspiring. This young woman unreservedly expressed her faith through her art. In June of this year, I received the following letter from Sharon, Amanda's mom. And with Sharon's permission, I'm also sharing this edited letter with you. Sharon expresses the importance of her daughter's life and the significance of this painting for her family. Sharon writes, "I remember the day Amanda was driven to get some supplies from the art store and do this painting. You probably won't be able to see it very well from up here, so Eddie's going to pass out some handouts and you can see the, you'll have to share. You can see this painting. Amanda was inspired to do this painting listening to the song Pure Bride by Leland. The painting depicts the Bride of Christ, which refers to those who invite Jesus Christ into their lives and acknowledge that he is the Son of God and our only means of salvation. Amanda accepted Jesus into her heart at the age of 3, on September 22, 1994. Amanda knew in her heart and had a clear image of what it would look like one day to be taken into the heavenly kingdom that her Lord and Savior had been preparing for her. Amanda's mother continues, "I often listened to this song and thought of the image it portrayed. I frequently told Amanda that when I think of that song, I think of her as that beautiful bride with her long blonde hair and how her Savior would one day meet her. We just did not expect that she would meet him on that bridge in Petawawa on that stormy night." I had put Amanda's painting in my closet after she had painted it sometime around the summer of 2010. The night of the accident, I rediscovered it in my closet. This NASA image, which is also on that handout, was produced when a star exploded and ejected an enormous cloud of material, which NASA's Nuclear Spectroscopic Telescope Array glimpsed in high-energy X-ray. It was named the Hand of God and was featured in the news on January 10, 2014, the day of the memorial service for Amanda. Placing the images side by side, we truly see the pure bride in the hand of God in our daughter's life and the reassurance of where Amanda now is. What a gift that we now have a symbol of the hand of God. Amanda's medical doctor certificate from the University of Ottawa was received posthumously and arrived in the mail on May 13th of this year. Amanda, whose name means worthy of love, knew she was loved by God, and his pure love bubbled out of her and continues to, reaching all those she came in contact with during her life, and now many more. We were told by the vice dean at the convocation, so dry, that the university has never graduated a student who has had as much impact as Amanda. She connected with people and has made a lasting impact on the medical community and countless others by demonstrating her love for Jesus. All for the glory of God, and what hope for all of us. Love, Sharon. I would like to draw your attention to the last painting. That's this one on this wall. This painting was named Dusting Off the Bibles. As Mennonites, we are people of the book. We believe in the sacredness of the scriptures as they help us in our understanding of God. The expression of these texts through visual art may help toward a greater understanding. At the end, I believe our world is shaped by how we behave and by what we choose to believe and how we choose to behave in relationship with others. Amen.